Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, so we have watched Battleground.
We did. I actually watched it twice.
Oh, good for you. I only watched it the one.
Yeah. If I didn't have a column to write, I would have watched it just once.
All right, fair enough. Well, so I did actually, we did not watch the live, the pre-show live, but I did actually go back and watch the pre-show.
You wish it didn't, did have, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it was not taking up my full attention.
No, not at all.
I like that I can see here on our card that the official matches took up less than 5 minutes combined.
Yep. The only thing that had my attention during any of this was Layla, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Because of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Adam Rose and Fandango, it made no sense other than it, you know, remind us that, oh yeah, Fandango and Layla and Summer Rae, that's still a thing. Kinda.
Well, it looks like they are the feud with the biggest quotation marks of exaggeration around right. them, the feud between Fandango and Ziggler is over. They're going their separate ways.
Right.
So this is a desperate, you know, since Ziggler's new feud was starting tonight.
Right.
Fandango had to do something else, and there it is.
Right.
Hooray, whatever.
And I don't know if it's going to be with Adam Rose. I hope not, and I think Vince hopes that it won't be either. I think it's just going to be like, Fandango's going to be scheduled with a match against X wrestler.
And then
that ex-wrestler just happens to come out with Layla those two, or they'll come out and distract them, or something along those lines. I don't know what the end game here is, but probably they don't either.
They don't either.
But it's fun, you know. Still, like, the line that gets to me that I laugh about every time is thinking of Fandango saying, "I like triangles." Yeah. I'm assuming Adam Rose is more of a pentagon guy, I guess. I don't know.
With a bunny.
I was going to say pentagram, but this would be an entirely different show.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know, it's one of those things. They got 3 hours to fill, and it's
yeah,
harmless and sad.
Pretty much. So. Yeah. I just again, like, I like to try to at least guess where the end game is. I can absolutely not do that here.
I don't know. I think it'll fizzle out until,
like, yeah, like, what's the end game? Like, Fandango finds a new girl that he's gonna be horrible to or something? I don't know.
Because Fandango's the bad guy here.
Right.
Summer
yeah.
Rae and Layla are the good guys.
Right.
Maybe Layla will be on Total Divas in season 3.
I mean, the only time she's ever on that show is whenever someone else is crying.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of weasels herself in there. Same thing with what was it, Caitlyn. Caitlyn lost her championship, and Layla just comes out from Gorilla
yeah.
and, like, consoles her. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
it was never addressed.
TV, like,
never addressed. And then, like, it wasn't until, like, a couple months later that Layla was like, oh yeah, I'm going to turn on you and be best friends with AJ. Yeah.
Yeah. Layla's
these
taking
are, these
Alicia
are the
Fox's
things,
spot.
These are the things that take up space in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
We need to fix that.
What was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels?
Right?
What was
I still want to know that. I really want to know that. Like, was he going to say, don't go? Was he going to say that, you know, he has the authoritative power to, you know, to reverse the decision so he doesn't have to retire? Or was he going to, you know, profess his undying love for Shawn finally? I don't know.
I don't know. I lie awake at night. This is really why I hate Sheamus.
Because he ruined
that. I don't know.
He's that to the core. All right. So here, our dearest fans who are listening to us right now, what do you think Triple H was going to say to Shawn the night Shawn retired? Let us know on Twitter at CR Attire, and we will share the best ones. Or if none of you guys answer, then we won't.
Nice plug.
Thank you.
Cameron defeated Naomi.
Hooray.
I guess. Surprised. I mean, I thought Naomi was gonna win, but, like,
right.
Okay, whatever.
I like how the roll up. It was just a simple roll up, but yet Michael Cole gave it a name.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot what it was.
I don't remember.
But it was like, yeah, it's a roll-up. It's like, it reminded me of the time when CM Punk was on commentary, and a guy was doing an arm drag, and he was like, oh yeah, I love the Lucha Libre style, and he was like, it's an arm drag.
Mm-hmm.
Americans do arm drag, I do an arm drag. What? Yeah.
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 They
I'm,
tried.
And seemingly, like, they're done with this because they didn't touch on it at all. But then again, I guess they didn't want three diva segments on Raw.
Yeah.
Because that's what it would have ended up being if you count Stephanie.
I was like, does Stephanie, I guess Stephanie counts as a diva segment. Well, yeah, because it was a match too, is that 4-on-1
right,
match.
Right, and it's going to lead to a feud with Brie, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So, if
do
they want
think,
to just completely...
Do you think Stephanie will get in the ring?
Yeah.
You think so?
That's the word going around. Like, they've been saving Stephanie going back into the ring for a big type
SummerSlam?
For SummerSlam with Vince Brie. Like, because, yeah, Brie's not a huge name in the Divas division, but it's a storyline that's actually been going and building.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes not so well. Another whole thing is that people are expecting Nikki to turn on Brie at some point just because she had to go through all this crap.
Yeah.
While Brie was fired or left or quit or whatever.
I mean, we've never gotten the... Like, it's been teased a lot and even, like, kind of happened a couple times, but the Bella Twin feud has never really, like, full-blown happened.
Right. And they've teased Stephanie coming back in the ring, like, with Vicky and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, the word is that they're saving it for something like this. So. Which I'm glad that they're saving it for something, I guess, substantial.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she has not been in the ring in a very long time, and so it needs to be something big for her to come back.
Yeah. So.
To justify it. Here I am talking about Stephanie coming back to the ring like she's freaking Shawn Michaels.
Finally we get on the real card, the Usos against the Wyatt family.
The 2 out of 3 false tag match.
Probably match of the night for me, honestly.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to beat, and honestly, I don't know who would beat it. I like the Battle Royale.
I like the Battle Royale a lot, so maybe
you
the
got
Battle
me
Royale.
Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I like the Battle Royale a lot, even though it was now down to a 19-man Battle Royale, because they took Fandango out.
Because
apparently, that minute and a half he was in the ring with Adam Rose in the pre-show was just too much
broke
for
him.
Him.
It broke
it him. Was too much for him to get, you know, thrown over the ring in the first 15 seconds by Great Khali.
Yeah. So...
You know it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this match was... It was... Yeah, I would go ahead and say this is match of the night.
It's match of the night, and it's...
It was difficult for me to accept that because, like I said, like, everyone's kind of been burnt out on this... feud.
Well, everyone is you. You are burnt out on this feud.
Okay, a lot of people are burnt out on this feud, I've noticed. Either online, I've seen people comments on stuff on Pulse and everything. Like, a lot of people are burnt out on it, even though they put on really good matches.
I'm done with this feud now.
Right.
But I think this was a great match to end this feud.
No, I absolutely agree. Yeah. This was a good period on the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Usos are still the champ. I would have liked... The only thing that I probably would have done differently about this whole feud was maybe put the tag team championships on with the Wyatts at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know... Because they seem to go back and forth on Ryback and Curtis Axel every now and then. Like, they are growing as a tag team. And there's moments where, like, okay, they might be, you know, putting these guys up against the Usos soon because they're still a heel team. But then you got... Gold Star waiting in the wings. I'm assuming they're going to get some sort of title shot in the near future now that they kind of rejuvenated.
I don't know. I don't know what the Cosmic Key is.
I don't know what the Cosmic Key
is. Is the Cosmic Key the titles?
I'm assuming it has something to do with... It sounds like something from Transformers.
I don't know. That's the Allspark.
The Allspark? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry that I don't watch machines fighting other machines.
The robots in disguise.
Robots in... Okay, fine. Whatever.
Honestly, like, again, the best thing for me to come out of this is I am very much looking forward to the feud where Luke Harper turns on Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, you were talking about that a couple days ago. You really think that Luke Harper could possibly be this generation's Mick Foley? Could.
Mate, that's, like,
I mean, that's a big, big order to fill.
That's a big thing to put on this guy, especially now. Especially for me.
Right.
Because, like... It's gonna take a lot to be able to,
yeah.
Put you know, that's personal affinity. But even if I you know try and set that aside, it's still very hard to be like, yep, there's Mick Foley.
Right.
Here's the.
But you're saying like a lot of the traits that you saw in Mick Foley, you can kind
of a lot of stuff you can see in Cactus Jack.
Right.
Like early Cactus Jack, you can also see
okay
in like Luke Harper's like indie stuff. So. maybe he also just has a beard and is giant. And I'm like, they're the same person, right?
He wears, you know, tattered clothes, and he's got a beard.
Yeah. They're basically clones of each other.
And he likes to look crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's... Luke Harper is, like, obviously Bray Wyatt's still my favorite part of the Wyatt family. Because, right. Of course. But Luke Harper's, like, fast climbing that right. ladder.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we're not saying WWE probably would ever allow anyone to do things that Mick Foley did.
Mm-mm.
But I feel like...
That was a product of its time. We will not see that.
Right. And even after the Hell in a Cell match, you know, there's the famous conversation between him and Vince where Vince just told him, like, I never want to see you do that again, but thank you. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, if anyone were to be close to that, yeah, I could kind of see Luke Harper being that guy. I finally went out and said it on my column this week. I don't like Eric Rowan.
Yeah.
He's nothing to me. He does nothing other than wear the mask. He's a good prop, I guess.
Yeah.
And like anytime he's in the he's not terrible in the ring, but every time he gets tagged in, I find myself like wandering and doing stuff on my laptop or whatever and just kind of waiting for Luke Harper to get tagged.
Yeah, no, it's very much, and like I've been going back and forth on how much that's his fault and how much that's me just being grumpy that Luke Harper's not in the ring right now.
Right, yeah.
You know, when I do have that, like, a clear favorite in a tag team like that, that has got to be a little bit on me. But, yeah, but Eric Rowan, I'm just... I don't see it a lot for him. You know, I don't... No.
If the day ever comes where the Wyatt family breaks up, or at least Luke and Rowan break up, I don't see Rowan going...
I see him being the one that get lost in the shuffle. Now... Yeah. You know, that's also, he is, you know, he's fine in the ring. He's not like...
No, yeah, yeah.
I don't cringe, but he's the third best at what this group is doing now. So right. If he went away and came back with a totally different gimmick, if he went, you know, completely took a left turn somewhere, there might be something great for Eric Rowan in the company still.
True.
But he's not gonna, I don't see him being the breakout star of the Wyatt family.
No. And see, like, the Wyatt family, there's a very obvious tier system there. Like, Bray is number one, Luke is number two, Eric is just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you compare it to the Shield, who, like, there was always a rotation of who seemed to be the number one.
Right.
And there was never any number three. Right. You know, it was just a constant rotation of that. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with Wyatt, you know, the Wyatts, there's obviously a figurehead in this group,
mm-hmm.
and he's the focus of the group. Luke Harper just happens to be the one that's a little bit more charismatic than the other one.
Yeah.
You know, or a lot more, because Eric doesn't say anything. You know, yeah. Like, he's there to look creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that very well. I'm, you know, happy that he found his, you know, niche. But, I don't know, like, I don't like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, AJ defeats Paige.
Yeah.
It
was a fun match, aside from a couple, you know, Paige did botch a couple things here towards the end. There was the fall to the mat.
Yeah.
Or to the floor, I should say. That was just weird. Like, they just hit the rope wrong. And then there was, I believe it was some sort of powerbomb in the corner that just... didn't look right at all. But, I mean, it wasn't enough to ruin the match completely.
No.
You know?
No.
And I blame Joel, because Joel was out of the room for most of that, and then he came back, and all of a sudden Paige started botching stuff. So, it's your fault, Joel.
No. We didn't even watch this show live. It had already happened.
I don't know. Cosmic key, bro. It's the cosmic key.
Whatever. It's fine. Paige turned heel on Raw the next night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did like the very accentuated headbutts that mm-hmm. she did. That was a really good touch. I dug that.
Yeah.
And you know, it assures that this feud is going to continue for a little bit longer.
But I mean, here's the thing. I had no fear that this feud. They have
right.
two divas that I you know, I feel are both their top divas technically, and are the ones that get the biggest reaction.
Right.
I feel like they're, and you know, in a tiered system, they're the only two on the championship level tier.
Right.
With, like, you know, they can also, one of them can face Naomi on main event. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or Nikki on main event. Like, that's where the next tier is.
Right.
So I assume that these two would be continuing to feud for the belt for the next mm-hmm. several months, maybe trade it back and forth a couple of times.
Right.
I don't know, it's... And this speaks to a bigger problem that I have, that every feud has to have a heel in it.
Right.
Because it's so much more interesting to me to have two faces or two... somewhere, you know, or at least a face and one of those heels that everybody cheers anyway.
Right.
Because they're, you know, Bad News are like just, they're delightful.
Right.
Kind of thing. And so, I don't know, it's a sport, you know?
Right.
There's two teams and the crowds cheer
right.
like that.
And, you know, they like to save, like, the face versus face matches, at least the big ones for, like, WrestleMania or SummerSlam or whatever. It's like even when CM Punk was the champion, he didn't really go full heel until after SummerSlam, because it was him, Cena, and Big Show. And Big Show was the heel.
Mm-hmm.
And the feud was, like, he didn't, like, you know, even though the feud was specifically CM Punk and Cena, like, I count that, like, Big Show was just kind of added, because they would want to put Big Show in places for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But then, he didn't really go heel until the very next, that next month at Night of Champions, because, you know, we had the... teaming up with Paul Heyman, like that whole thing started, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, I would like to be interested to see like people who just have matches scheduled against each other and they just happen to both be good guys, you know, or yeah. they just happen to both be heels or something like that.
I get the difficulty in a heel versus heel match. There's nobody to cheer for,
right?
Like,
yeah.
So you know, I get that begrudgingly,
and
but
like
I get that
it's one of those things where like someone in that match is probably going to get more cheers than the other at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that person kind of is forced to turn face
yeah.
just for that match.
But there's, you know, there's that whole thing, it happens every week on Raw, where they're like, here's a massive main event, it's a, you know, six-man tag team
right.
with these three random wrestlers and these three random wrestlers. Oh, what? It's three faces versus three heels? What a coincidence.
Right. Yeah.
So, I don't know, it speaks to a bigger problem. It's not like this isn't the straw that broke the camel's back or anything.
No. It's just the point where you're just kind of reminded of all that
yeah,
stuff.
It just reminds me. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Next we have the Rusev versus Jack Swagger match.
Yeah.
I said something last week where I said that if WWE.com had a sale on their shirts, I would buy the Jack Swagger shirt.
Mm-hmm.
On Raw kickoff, they had a 35% off sale. And so it's on the way now.
Okay.
So I just wanted to update everyone that I did actually, you know, go through
follow
with
through
it.
With your bold statement.
I bought a Jack Swagger shirt.
Oh, wow.
That feels weird.
You can't unbuy that.
No, but to kind of counterbalance that, I did finally find my favorite CM Punk shirt of all time. It was the one that he had just before Nexus. It's like that same design, but it was black.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the back, it had the, like, really crudely drawn CM Punk on the back.
Yeah.
And I got it just in time to never see him again.
Yes.
Yay, unless you watch the AP Music Awards or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, did you see him declare that he's never, ever, ever coming back?
Well, yeah, but he did it in...
No, I know he did. He did
it in that punk way. We're like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah. No.
You rascally fella.
No, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
So, it was a fun interview.
It was a very fun interview. And I knew the moment, because even when I read, like, the text of it,
mm-hmm.
and just hearing that, I was like, okay, I can picture exactly how he said that, but it's not going to stop people online from dissecting every single syllable to try to figure out what he really means.
I think it means he won't be back by SummerSlam.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, the Rusev versus Swagger match, Lana apparently got everyone into some hot waters because she didn't necessarily talk about the Malaysian airline or airplane that went mm-hmm. down over the weekend, but she just kind of tiptoed towards it. Like she just said, you know, everyone blames Russia for the recent events, and that was as close as she got to it.
Yeah.
And then apparently some people got angry about that, and WWE had to issue a statement. I really don't think that was necessary. Because I don't think she came anywhere close to it. She said recent events. Like, she could be talking about anything else. Well, like, the whole Ukrainian thing in general with Russia. Like, she could have just been talking about that.
Well, I mean, part of it was does Rusev not have enough heat?
Yeah, she was completely unnecessary. Yeah.
It's not Jack Swagger that turned Jack Swagger face. It's Rusev's heat that turned Jack Swagger face.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, all Lana really had to do was come out and be like, you stupid Americans, blah, blah, blah. And just stayed on that subject. Don't even, like, it's like, oh, we all look up to our leader, Vladimir Putin, if we absolutely must look at that picture one more time.
Of course.
And then leave it at that, you know?
Yeah.
She probably, you know, she went a little too close to that, to the sun there.
Okay.
But I felt like the reaction afterwards was maybe issuing a statement isn't terrible, but dropping the entire storyline.
Yeah.
And that's what the rumor is. Like, they dropped the entire Swagger thing. And that's why Rusev was fighting Kali and Lana got basically cut off.
They do not need to drop this storyline because this is Swagger's make or break moment.
Right. No. Like,
Swagger
I would absolutely hate
much.
Well, yeah. Like, have Swagger, like, drown on his own if that's what happens. But I wouldn't like to see, like, a situation like this be the reason why a guy faltered.
Yeah.
You know? But then again, you know, it's one of those people where, like, if you're good enough, you could survive something like that. You know?
Well,
CM Punk survived smacking a fan in the face. Matter of fact, he survived smacking the wrong fan in the face.
He did.
You know?
But part of it is WWE is still paying for the decisions they made during the Attitude Era.
Right.
And I think they know that, and, you know, this is the time they decided to do that. So, yeah, they the only time WWE gets in the national news is, I mean, there'll be, like, something super innovative like the network, or look at wrestling being the crude wrestling that it is, and,
right,
you know, having constant bad taste. So,
and even before the Attitude Era, like, I can remember, like, you know, a lot of people being upset with the whole Sergeant Slaughter thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him turning and you know, being an American apologist or something, or an Iraqi, I don't know how they worded it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Him basically turning on America during, you know, a really tense moment in our history.
Right.
So, and I don't know. They got to be on The Daily Show again, and they made it funny, so it's like, come on. Jon Stewart laughed about it, why can't everyone else?
Yeah. I'm finally on board with Rusev.
Yeah.
I will stand by, I do not think it took the entire build that you put on it, because that was still too long and still too pointless for 2 months.
Yeah.
I will not concede that you were right on that. That was
No. I know. I don't think anyone will argue about that. But they finally hit their stride.
Yes.
Leading up, because yeah, his fights against Big E were, you know, the best that we had seen at that point, and it really kind of built him up because Big E was, you know, he was Intercontinental Champion. You know, he was a very prominent mid-carder, not all these lower-card guys.
Yeah.
So, you had that, and so then you finally get the all-American-American character. He finally, you know, is like, you know what, enough being with this bad guy thing, it's time to, you know, teach you Russian people a lesson.
That's exactly how it is.
Yeah. Well, not so much him, but Zeb, but yeah. And it would be a shame for them to just scrap all of that because of some people.
Yeah.
You know, some people got offended that they were, you know, mirroring reality a little bit too much. I don't know.
We'll see. What
happens. But the match was a good match.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was a good way to end it, to keep Rusev looking strong.
Right, in a good way, and not squandering anything with Swagger's run right now.
Right.
Because, I don't know, that was a pretty good ring post hit that ended it. Like, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And Swagger sold, like, it's like you remember, oh right, he spent a good deal amount of time with Ziggler, because he sold, you know, pretty well just by dying out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, we made fun of the trainer for coming out and, you know, tending to his head injuries by shaking his head a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't like the idea of Swagger being knocked out and then being put in the accolade, because Swagger couldn't exactly sell the accolade because he was still selling being knocked out. So it looked like he was just asleep.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, this feud should continue. I hope they kind of take the week to really think about it. Because they could play it off, you know, Swagger wasn't on Raw because he was recovering. I think he was on Main Event.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened there. But from what I understand, like, someone had said that, like, on the commentating thing, they said they basically changed the ending of the match. Like, oh, yeah, Swagger tapped last night, you know. And I don't know. I really would hate for them to do that. And I hope that that's not the reason Jack Swagger...
Because you just bought the shirt.
Because I just bought the shirt. Now, and, you know, and again, if everything fails and they completely scrap this and Jack Swagger goes back to being a jerk. Mm-hmm. And they go back to the shirt that has We the People on the back. Then I'll have a collector's item then.
Okay.
And it will be worth something. I don't know how much, but probably not.
Probably not.
Maybe like a dollar more than retail.
Next up, we have Seth Rollins defeating Dean Ambrose by forfeit.
And then a brawl afterwards.
I mostly just feel bad for anybody who bought a ticket to Battleground.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't... I mean, and like, for me, I don't care. This is going to be on SummerSlam. That's where it should have been anyway. Fine. Right. You know.
But see, the thing is, they're going to have a different video package. But the video package they put together for this on Battleground was so good. Like, use old Shield stuff, and it really, mm-hmm. like, kind of tapped into the emotional element of it. I really, really, really liked that video package. And they wasted it.
Yeah.
On a match that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And again, I would... Here, okay, we've got a month or so before SummerSlam. What they need to do is they need to add some meat to this story. Because right now all we have is one guy attacking the other guy every week. That's pretty much the whole extent of their feud. Like, yeah, they were partners for a very long time. They were part of SHIELD for a very long time, and one guy turned on them. But ever since then, it's always been one guy attacking the other.
Yeah.
Like, I need some more to it.
You got a month.
Yeah, they've got a month. I have a feeling we're just going to get one guy attacking the other guy a lot more.
We'll see. I mean, maybe.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the appeal of it to me was Dean Ambrose was making it his mission to make sure that Seth Rollins could not cash in.
Right.
But that really only works if Seth Rollins keeps trying to cash in.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think he's going to do because they don't want to take away from John Cena versus Brock Lesnar.
Right.
You know?
And they don't want to do two SummerSlams in a row where somebody cashes in.
I mean, he might cash in at SummerSlam, but I'm saying he's not going to cash. He's not going to make any attempts between them, now yeah. and SummerSlam.
Well, yeah, and they've kind of established, like, you know, now it's got a moment where Seth is, he's basically said that he's gun-shy about doing it now because he's always there.
Yeah.
He's always lurking or whatever. So, I don't know. Who called? Who predicted that Dean Ambrose was hiding in the trunk?
I did.
That was you?
That was me.
That's what I thought. Yeah, yes. Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the ambulance.
No, this was a great show for me. Because I predicted Seth Rollins to win. I predicted Chris Jericho to win out of bitterness. And I predicted Miz to win.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I went perfect
here. Well, no, because we both predicted Naomi to win.
Okay. Usos.
I don't remember if I picked the Usos or the Wyatts.
Yeah, so, no.
We both picked AJ. I think I picked Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
I picked Dean. Yeah. You did, yeah, you cleaned house on me.
No, it was, one. Yeah, this was a good one. So, I'm gonna go back to counting now. I was like, letting it fall by the wayside.
Because like, oh yes, I shall keep track of how
I'm losing.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Yeah, this is a match that needed to go to SummerSlam. Like,
yeah.
And I viewed this whole Seth Rollins Dean Ambrose thing as like the perfect example of how much this is just a transitional pay-per-view from Money in the Bank to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And really not a whole lot that happened during it mattered that much in the grand scheme of things. Because it was just, you know, placeholding.
Yes.
It makes me wonder why they even moved Battleground in this position in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, other than to, you know, maybe have the fall seem less jumbled than it has been in the past couple of years.
Yeah. They got to say they have the right number of pay-per-views, however many they want this year.
Right.
So.
But yeah, that's so far 0 for 2 for Battleground. As far as
an event?
As a whole, yeah. Like, the first Battleground was fine, and it did have the Shield versus the Codust for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great match. But that's kind
of
it.
But that's the thing, is Battleground is just one of those, like, generic, one-word important
right.
pay-per-views kind of
right.
thing.
Right, or, yeah, Battleground, Payback.
Payback.
Breaking Point's technically two words, but still.
That's the same thing. Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Backlash. I mean.
Extreme Rules.
No
Way Out, yeah.
The ones that have no gimmicks, and so.
Yeah. Ones that are just events.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And, you know, there's some of them, like SummerSlam, is just big enough that that's its gimmick, is that it's SummerSlam.
Which is redundant. But that's more because WWE puts a conscious effort to make it a big event. Mm-hmm. Where the other ones, it doesn't feel like they make as much of an effort.
Yeah. So, those things, it's, again, I don't feel bad. I, as a person who has the network and knows they're going to be watching both Battleground and SummerSlam, mm-hmm. I don't really care that this match didn't happen, because I know it will happen at SummerSlam.
Yeah, right.
It just kind of sucks if you'd spent $45 on a ticket to Battleground. Yeah. Because with this potential match of the night on the card, and it didn't happen.
Now, that being said, if Battleground was in Greensboro, you would go, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
No, I'd be completely on the other end of the fence. I'd be like, this is not cool.
It wouldn't happen, because apparently Greensboro crowds are historical for being crap for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that. I've heard that on... Well, I've had a conversation with someone on Reddit about that, yeah.
We weren't loud enough for Paul Heyman. We're sorry.
We tried. I tried. You tried. Yes. I heard you. You heard me. We tried.
Yep.
So, this is just a random question that I just thought of. We always talk about the big four pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Number one,
WrestleMania.
Number two probably would be Royal Rumble at this point. Number three, WWE wants number two to be SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone likes Royal Rumble more.
Yes.
So those two are kind of like in that middle. And then Survivor Series has easily become the worst.
The number four.
Would you argue that we're possibly seeing Money in the Bank become the number four?
I have heard a lot of, you know, talk about a lot of people saying, like, we now have a big five instead of a big four with Money in the Bank. I personally am much more excited about Money in the Bank than Survivor Series. Because they don't do the Survivor Series match.
Right. And, you know, I remember...
It's like doing the Royal Rumble without the Royal Rumble match.
And I remember the past few years, you heard rumors of them not doing SummerSlam. Or Survivor Series.
Right.
Like, you heard rumors here and that. Like, it never, like, never materialized into an actual discussion from what I understand. But, like, those rumors were floating.
Well, they... It takes, you know, a pretty bold move to pull that trigger on... You know, not having Survivor Series after however many years they've been having Survivor Series uninterrupted. So, but it's, you know, it's
just like when they stopped calling every pay-per-view In Your House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they just haven't put a whole big effort in Survivor Series the last few years.
I mean, I don't know, maybe, like, if you want a good Survivor Series match, I feel like about now you start building up two factions that have to go against each other. Like, Cena, Team WWE versus the Nexus.
That was a big thing.
Great Survivor Series match that happened at SummerSlam.
Right.
You know, but you had that, you had this, like, months of build up to finally have to take down this team.
Right.
That has not happened.
No, Lord, no.
Long time.
No.
Sometimes they just haven't had the match.
Right.
So.
It was like, what was it? Survivor Series was supposed to be Team Punk. That one year it was supposed to be Team Punk and Team Mick Foley, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh yeah, you have the WWE Championship, Punk, so we need to take you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then, I forgot, I think Randy Orton ended up being, like, the leader of the heel team at that point.
But it was like that. Last year was the one where we wanted
Shield
versus the Wyatts.
And I think Shield had...
But Shield was technically still heels at the time. So they could not have that, even though everybody wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And begging for it.
Even though, because it was 6-on-6... I think, that they were kind of teasing. And, you know, you had Wyatt's and the Shield together. They were, you know, very distrustful of each other, but they were together. Then you had, I think, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Codust, and the Usos, I believe. I could be wrong about that. And that was the match we wanted, I think.
I think we wanted... I think I wanted Shield versus Wyatt's.
I don't know.
With other people, I guess, but... I don't remember exactly what it was... But it was not the match that I wanted.
No. Whatever the match we ended up getting at Survivor Series, we did not get.
Yeah.
But even though they teased it, like, the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going insane. I think that is what it was. It was Shield and Wyatt's, up against like this really good team led by Punk and Brian.
Yeah.
And I forgot what Punk and Brian ended up doing, but they were definitely not part of that.
Yeah.
I think that was the that might have been the show where Daniel Bryan was against all three members of the Wyatts, and CM Punk was against all three members of the Shield.
Oh yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what that... It might have been TLC. I knew it was one of the ones at the end of the year.
Right, right. That's screaming back to me. You're right.
Right.
Okay. but anyway, next up, Chris Jericho defeats Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Not really as good of a match as I was expecting. You know, the majority of it was Bray just beating the mess out of Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Jericho had some offense here and there, but the majority of it was all Bray Wyatt. Then Chris Jericho kind of pulled the fast win at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was just, you know, me expecting too much. Or maybe they're saving some in the tank for...
It's like, I'm pretty sure that they're gonna... As adamant as it was, Chris Jericho should win. Chris Jericho needs to win. I'm glad Chris Jericho won to put a little bit of credibility back to Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to have a rematch at SummerSlam where Bray Wyatt wins.
Right.
It's not a, you know...
I found myself, like, as I was watching this, I was remembering the idea that I had during the last Jericho run where I was kind of... just putting the idea out there that maybe Chris Jericho had lost a step. And, like, while I was watching this match, like, that whole conversation just came rushing back in my brain. You know? Mm-hmm. That's not really the thing that you want to have in your head.
Yeah.
When watching, you know, a Jericho match. I'm not saying that, you know, that's absolutely the case, and it could be because we forget Jericho's been doing this a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, if he were to lose a step, it would be okay.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. He wasn't terrible, you know. He was still really good in the ring, and Bray Wyatt still was really good in the ring. Just, I don't know, something just didn't click for this match with me.
I don't know. It's... There's plenty of room for improvement for SummerSlam.
Right.
Which, and I believe they want them to do a SummerSlam match that will top this match.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah.
Because, again, it wasn't a bad match, but it was a fine middle-of-the-card match.
Right.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
Next up, the 19-man event.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was fun. Ziggler's elimination of Sheamus was beautiful.
It really was, and I know it held a special place in your heart as it did mine.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I don't know, it feels like a bigger victory than just that elimination.
Yeah.
Miz, Kofi had his...
Kofi had some moment, nice yeah. spots. Miz got in the way of... when Sheamus pointed to the title. And
yeah.
Miz got in the shot and was like, oh.
Or Sheamus was like, me, you, and that. And they cut over and I thought they were pointing at Miz.
I thought they were pointing at Miz, too.
Because I forgot that the Intercontinental Championship was on
and,
a stand
but,
there.
But now I really want that to happen. Because the guy that went under the ropes and isn't really eliminated comes back for the surprise win. Happens right. all the time.
Right.
So I really want something to be like, hey, we're not the only two left.
Right.
Look at that guy right there. Let's get him.
Right.
I really want that to happen now. So, like, they did it by accident, but there was a much better little gimmick to do that. And you can still have Miz win, because I picked it and I want to get that point. But you can still have Miz win.
Right. You would just like to see them actually acknowledge that one time.
Yeah, just, like, subvert the trope one time.
Right. I would really like that, actually.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yeah, it's very clear that WWE has found the winning formula for these Battle Royals.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to, you know, space them out a little bit more. So we've had, what... four big ones in the past since the Royal Rumble.
Since the Rumble?
Because your Rumble, you had the Andre the Giant one,
mm-hmm.
you had the U.S. Championship one, and then you had this.
Yeah.
So you had four in a span of 7 months.
People need to stop getting hurt.
Well, yeah, that too. Like, yeah, two of them came out of injury.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, they just need to ease up on it, because I'm pretty sure at some point Kofi's probably going to run out of
material. Kofi is flying through his fancy bits.
Right, like, now it's going to be like, okay, what has he saved for the next Royal Rumble?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, Miz won. Like we said, we understand why. I think we pretty much covered all that. Why we think Miz would be the one. Well, you picked the Miz.
Yeah.
You know, when you made valid points, and I'm sure that's probably what it is. You know, just kind of give a bone to the guy who's willing to wake up at the 5 a.m. radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him a little bit more incentive, a little bit more enthusiasm to go with it, and it helps to have a belt on to do that. I guess. Sure. So. Then we have the Fatal 4-Way match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It was an okay match. Easily the best part of the match was, you know, any of the Roman Reigns highlights.
Yeah.
You know, him doing the big drop kick in, like, a circle to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really liked it, especially the one that I did, I think it was on Kane, on the commentating table.
Yeah.
I really liked it. The thing that I just cannot stand about this is that we got the exact same finish that we got at Money in the Bank. John Cena putting an AA on Randy Orton and throwing him on top of Kane. The only difference is that Money in the Bank, he climbed a ladder after he did it. This time he actually had to pin someone, so he pinned the one that he threw someone else on top of. Yeah. You know? But it literally is the exact same finish.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, John Cena's going to win, but at least, come on, do something different. And even if you're not going to do something different, make sure you don't do the same thing that you just did.
Well, that's the thing, is like, yeah, we all knew John Cena was going to win.
Right.
That was beyond question. But the real problem is, if you had asked me Saturday, write down a beat for beat of what's going to happen in this match, I don't know how different that would have been than what actually happened.
Right.
It was so
painted by the numbers. It was pretty much exactly what you would expect WWE to do in this match, you know?
There were a cool, a few kind of cool spots. There was no, like, whoa, that was an impressive spot.
Right.
Which there was in the ladder match. Because it's a ladder match. It's a Money in the Bank match. Right. But yeah, but it's 20 minutes of exactly what I'm watching. I'm basically watching a rerun.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And getting the ending that you knew you were going to get.
Yeah.
And not even, you know, cash-in tease or anything like that, because we had already seen Seth Rollins leave.
Yeah. But whatever, it is what it is, and I'm more excited about something like I'm just biding my time because I don't know how what they're going to do with the SummerSlam match. That could go either way.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in that.
Right.
And I made it through this.
He's like, would WWE dare have the guy who broke the undefeated streak lose to John Cena at a SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Like, does WWE have the gall to do that? Because when you think about that, you start to think, like, oh, God, WWE, they're jerks sometimes, but are they that big
jerks? I don't know. So, like, that's the thing, because, you know.
That's the interesting thing,
Here's the thing. On Raw this week, Zack Ryder beat the person who beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania.
Fandango, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, to be fair, it was established that was kind of a fluke win at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And this is probably was a fluke win at Raw, because he won because the girls, you know.
And Zack Ryder was surprised as the rest of us.
He certainly was. Is it me, or does Zack Ryder look, like, more buff than he used to be?
He might be trying to, I mean, like.
He looked like he got a little bit more meat on him.
I mean, here's the thing. Do you think there's any chance that this was a testing the waters to see if Zack Ryder could still get over?
No.
Do you know there's literally any chance, or was he just the closest one to Gorilla when they walked
Which
by?
Which guy would be more embarrassing for Fandango to lose to on Monday Night Raw? They're like, okay, let's get Ryder.
You think they were looking for JTG?
He's like, oh, right, we forgot that we fired
Vince
him.
Vince is running around yelling for JTG. Like, and, oh, we fired him, I forgot.
Right, and, you know, there's not anyone else who gets really bad camera time. The only thing that probably would have been more of a kick to Fandango's character's ego would probably be Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
But they're probably saving that for Torito rematch or something.
Yeah, when they have to reform 3MB.
Oh, have you heard of Heath Slater's new tag team partner?
Isn't it Titus?
It's Titus, and they're called Slater Gator. Because he's from Florida. Florida Gators.
Okay.
All right. Because he played football for the Florida
Gators. No, I know.
Slater Gator. You get it, Joel?
I know.
You get it, you jerk?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to beat you over the head with this joke, Joel, until you get it.
So, I really like that they were in Miami.
Yeah.
And Dolph Ziggler and Miz had a match.
Yeah.
And they are both billed from Hollywood, even though they're both actually from Cleveland.
Well, no. No, because they were talking about the whole LeBron thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ziggler, who was Ziggler fighting?
Miz.
Yeah, he was fighting. And they were like, oh, and Miz was talking about how he was left Cleveland or whatever to go Hollywood or whatever. And then they were talking about the whole LeBron thing. And, Miz had said something like, no one's from Cleveland. And then Michael Cole was like, okay, people are from Cleveland. Ziggler's from Cleveland. Because they started billing Ziggler from Cleveland last time they were there. Mm-hmm. They started saying, from Cleveland, Ohio, Dolph Ziggler. So they finally, you know, started acknowledging that, even though Ziggler was technically always billed from Hollywood, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they're billed from different Hollywoods, but they're both billed from Hollywood.
Right.
Even though they're both from Cleveland. Yeah. Wrestling in Miami, at a time where Miami is really mad at Cleveland.
Right. And then they did the Sandow thing. Who did Sandow?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Was it Bo Dallas? It was Bo Dallas.
There you go. Because
I was like, this is a heel versus heel match.
Yeah, right. And that was the thought that I had. I was like, are they turning Bo Dallas heel?
Face.
Or face, I'm sorry. Are they turning Bo Dallas face, or did they just accidentally put the obligatory Bo Dallas segment along with the obligatory costume Damian Sandow segment? Yes. I feel like that's more what it was.
Yeah, no, that's what it was. Bo Dallas is still a heel. Ziggler and Miz put on a fantastic match. Was that just me?
It's all kind of like
that was like a pay-per-view quality match for those guys.
It was good. I liked it. Ziggler actually won, and he didn't look like he was on a sad phone call.
Yeah,
like he was at the end of Battleground.
No, I can't help it. I'm sitting here being like, everything's coming up Ziggler.
Right.
Here we go.
Because again, like, Miz is the one guy who they will put a championship on, but they would have, he is the ultimate, like, we don't know how he remains champion. He always finds a way to weasel his way with the belt or whatever.
Yeah.
With Ziggler being the face, again, he's in a situation where you think Miz or Ziggler could actually win this feud.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thought the same thing with Fandango, because it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's got me excited. It's like, yeah, I would like it for a bigger belt, but at this point, we'll take whatever we can get.
Take what I can get.
Because he's on...
That's where they have me. That's where they have me right now, is I'll take what I can get.
Right. And I'm pretty sure Zack Ryder is in that same boat. Like, he will take whatever they get at this point, just so he can be on... He won a match on Monday Night Raw, and it's 2014, and not 2011.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Another thing, let's talk about the new faction that's forming with Kofi and Big E and Xavier Woods as their mouthpiece. First of all, Xavier Woods was amazing on the mic.
First of all, Xavier Woods can apparently teleport. Where did he come from? Like, they were celebrating, they turned around in, like, a fully decked out white suit.
I'm assuming
Xavier
it's,
Woods.
I'm assuming it's some sort of Power Ranger
had
thing.
Appeared. How did that happen? So,
yeah. But then, he cut I thought it was a really good promo.
Yeah.
Really good to stab, like... It's like he was really trying to recruit these guys into thinking his way of thinking to kind of form a heel tag team, which is so weird that that's a thing with Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kofi's on the verge of turning heel.
Yeah.
For the first time ever. And I'm excited for it. I don't know if it's going to work. I have no idea. But I'm just excited because Kofi's doing something different.
I don't know. I don't know if he's turning heel yet.
I don't know. That was a very heel promo that Xavier cut. It could be.
It was a frustrated promo.
There you go. Well, yeah.
But it was. I mean, obviously, it wasn't like on par anywhere with the pipe bomb. But it was that kind of like I've had enough.
Right.
Mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
And honestly, out of the three guys, Xavier Woods probably is the perfect one to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we love Big E.
But he's a little doofy.
He is, and Kofi isn't good on the mic.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having Xavier Woods is a big benefit.
Mm-hmm.
even though I would kind of like to see what he can, because I feel like I still haven't really seen what he can do in the ring.
Yeah.
With WWE. Like, yeah, we've had, you know, he's been TNA and all that stuff, but, you know, he hasn't really gotten that chance in on the main shows yet.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm still kind of hoping that if this is a new Nation of Domination, that they will bring back Ron Simmons to be their manager. Although,
I mean,
Ron Simmons isn't necessarily a talker either.
Well, first of all, like, if they're going this way, it has to be a new Nation of Domination. Because everybody will call it that, right, even if WWE never acknowledges
it. We're already calling it. We were calling it, like, 2 months ago when this first was teased on Twitter. Like, it's what they kind of, like, designed it after.
Yeah.
Seemingly. So, they would have to call it Nation of Domination, and then that means they would feel obligated to include Mark Henry because he was in the original Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's going to be the version of Owen Hart in this case. Probably Zack Ryder, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, what we need is a really good... To fit that mold, we need a really, really great technical wrestler who has been just looked at, like, looked over a
as
lot.
A kid.
Holy crap, that just... That's perfect. I've been struggling to find someone for that role ever since I had this first idea, like, last night. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking of, like, all these other people. Never once did I think of Tyson Kidd. Holy crap.
Because you overlooked him. Because he's overlooked.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Touche. Okay.
I don't know if they will literally try and, like, recreate the Nation of Domination. Like, here they are.
Right. And I don't think they would... I don't think they would go as far as Nation of Domination would, but...
Not in this day and age.
No.
Not, I mean, when Nation of Domination happened and what they want to do today with TVPG and...
Right.
Maybe Third Time's a Charm for Lana.
And I don't think that they're going to have, whenever they feud against another team, mm-hmm, I don't think they're going to have, you know, that other team suddenly come to the ring in blackface.
Yes, I don't think that will
happen. I don't think that, DX did it once, somehow... They didn't get completely buried by, oh, I don't know, society.
Yeah.
Let's leave well enough alone and just never try that again.
I mean, you backed off of the Lana thing.
Right. There's no telling. Let's not even step anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because this gives these guys an opportunity, because without it, all three of these guys really wouldn't have anything to do. We know Xavier Woods has nothing to do.
Yeah.
Kofi's always floating in that area of mid-card, nothing to do. And then we kind of see getting into that. He hasn't fully gotten into that.
Well, that's the thing. Kofi has his thing to do. Yeah, and we know that Kofi's going to have an amazing Royal Rumble spot or an amazing Money in the Bank spot. But we know that's it.
Right.
And that's kind of like, we know Santino's going to come out and be funny. But that's kind of it.
Right.
And so even if, even though Kofi is, much more athletic and much more in-ring ability, technical prowess, he's still stuck in that same thing that Santino is always stuck in. Is like, that's it. That's what he's there for.
Right.
He's not there for anything else.
Yeah.
So, you should also mention, Stephanie got arrested.
Yeah.
Which just really calls into question why the police have never been involved in anything WWE-related.
It was a different story because she slapped a fan.
CM Punk punched a fan, and that was a real fan.
And they reached a settlement that didn't make it onto TV because it wasn't planned.
That was a real fan, and his real face got really punched.
It happened at the tail end of the show, so if there was an arrest, we wouldn't have seen it. So, there's that. But this is a different story.
I'm just saying, I assumed that we all, unspokenly agreed in kayfabe that the police didn't really exist. That basic law and order did not exist in the WWE universe.
Well, yeah, because we always know that they're fake cops. But these were fake detectives wearing suits, and that's more believable. They read her Miranda rights. They literally had the card to read her Miranda rights to her. They took the time that was essentially silent air, because we really couldn't hear the guy reading her Miranda rights, but he had the card, so he knew what he was doing.
No, I saw it. But that immediately flashed to, like, all the, like, Stone Cold in the grocery store.
And, okay.
And, like, every single, like...
If you were a cop,
vandalism issue and, like, throwing... They throw stuff in harbors all the time. There should be, like, littering charges, like...
So you're saying the Coast Guard should be getting involved because they're throwing stuff into international water?
I'm just saying that they do a lot of things, like...
Okay, to be fair, you're working as a grocery store clerk. Odds are you're probably a wrestling fan. Because I've been to my share of grocery stores wearing wrestling t-shirts, and by far, those are the only places where the employees are like, I love your shirt. So let's put that to bed right there. If you see Stone Cold beating the holy hell out of Booker T in your frozen food section, what are you going
to
do?
One of your thoughts is, I'm going to have to clean that up. Did you not see the mess that Stone Cold made?
Honestly, I would gladly clean up a Stone Cold mess.
That sounds it's kind in of the frozen section.
Oh, I hate you so very much.
I'm just saying,
I would let it happen, and then I would tell my manager and let the manager deal with it.
But any other job where you're like, my coworker struck me with a baseball bat today.
Well, yeah, clearly the authorities would be called. Like, because they're not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But I'm saying, like, the characters in the show, they hijack things, or they carjack people fairly frequently. They attack people off of WWE-sanctioned property. Like, they break all kinds of laws, and I thought we were just like, shh, the police don't exist here. So when, like, the police show up to arrest somebody...
I don't know. I don't know. I really like the way they did it this time.
All right.
Like, literally in the middle of a segment that Stephanie just happened to be out in the ring, and so I'm assuming these detectives had been looking for her, and so they were like, okay, she's in the ring, so we need to go get her now, and just completely interrupted the show like that. It felt...
I mean, it was really well executed because there was a good,
it was
like,
a really
3 to 5
pause.
Minutes of confusion.
Right.
So, no, it did...
I'm assuming, I've never been arrested, but I'm assuming when someone is being arrested, it's quite awkward.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have that thing where, like, the 6 police officers came and lined up on the ramp, and you're like, that police officer used to be a referee.
Right. Speaking of, there was that one fan that everyone's been talking about from Raw this past week when the magic moment happened with Brie.
Yeah.
And there was that one fan that had that moment.
Who was just totally into it?
Former, Florida?
Oh, FCW?
Former FCW referee.
I knew he was a referee.
Yeah, I knew he was
FCW referee.
Well, yeah, Reddit kind of ruined that. It's like, he's a referee, he's in the business. I thought I was just a regular fan.
Just a guy enjoying himself?
Well, clearly was a guy just enjoying himself, and he's not with the company or anything.
I mean, he might, you know, have personal opinions on Stephanie, though, if he had worked for WWE at one point.
That's probably why you were so giddy about what Brie said. Again, I said this on my column, and I'll say it again. I want a big blown-up cardboard sign of just that guy's head the moment he realized what Brie had just uttered. I want that. If you're willing and able to make that and give that to me, I will give you a prize. Probably a signed picture. I don't know what that picture is going to be yet.
Just find a picture and sign it?
Sure.
Fine.
I will sign movie posters that I had nothing to do with. You will get a copy of a signed Dark Knight Rises poster because I have 2 of them. And you're going to wonder who that Chris Sanders dude was and what did he do in the movie. He did nothing.
Alright, finally, we end the show with Brock coming back.
Right. And again, like... Knew it was coming, the most telegraphed thing that they have ever done since Batista. All that being said, I'm totally excited for it, and if I wasn't excited for it, I sure as hell am excited for it after that Paul Heyman promo.
Paul Heyman did a pretty good promo.
You think?
It's pretty good.
Okay, are you, like, purposely, like, underselling this?
Okay, no.
Because it was a really good promo.
It was a really good promo, but he's... incapable of not making really good promos.
Well, I know. I feel like this was good even for Paul Heyman.
See, I don't think it was good for Paul Heyman. I think, first of all, I think his CM Punk one is still
by Far and Away.
The one in Chicago.
The one in Chicago, yeah. Okay. This one was very much a repeat of his Undertaker promo. It just took the Pledge of Allegiance instead of Psalm 23. Where did I walk through the shadow of the dead man, I shall fear no evil, for I walk with Brock Lesnar.
I don't remember that one, but yeah, okay. Yeah,
I mean, it's literally that. It's the I Pledge Allegiance. So.
Okay, fine. I thought it was an amazing promo.
It was a great promo.
Okay. I just assumed that of, like, the two people in this room, you would be the one being all giddy about that, and apparently I'm the one being giddy about it.
You should be. It was a very good promo.
Okay. I was expecting that from Joel, but I was incredibly disappointed by your reaction.
Do not make me out to be the guy that's not saying good things about Paul Heyman.
I was fully expecting the moment we would turn this podcast on, hit record, I was assuming Wavy Arm Joel would be right here talking about the Paul Heyman promo.
It's a great Paul Heyman promo.
Okay, then.
But the CM Punk one is better.
Fine.
Fine. Sorry. Why don't you talk about the promo? You're clearly very excited about this promo.
Good. No, I'm good. I've said what I need to say.
Clearly, you have so many feelings about this promo.
Well, I have one feeling, but it's a big rager of a feeling.
Fair enough. I'm excited about this match, honestly.
Right. And I am as well. Because, again, like, we don't know...
I don't know. It's the first time in a while I don't know who's going to walk away with the title.
Right. And like I said earlier, like, will WWE have the courage to have Brock Lesnar, the man who defeated the streak, lose to John Cena? Like, I know that WWE will go far and beyond to have John Cena win a match. I don't know if they're willing to go this far. Yeah. Then again, I didn't know someone that would go this far at having, you know, someone break the streak.
Yeah. I
as far as I am concerned, Brock Lesnar should be completely indestructible in kayfabe.
Yeah.
After that. Like, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even sure this is going to be that great of a match. Although, to be fair...
The Extreme Rules match is one of the...
That was my match of the year year. That was an amazing match.
And it absolutely was.
But this will be a match on, like, the near falls. I will be about them.
Has Brock Lesnar been in a match that wasn't some sort of stipulation? Like, has he been in a regular match? Because I don't think so. So the CM Punk one, they changed last minute, right before the match was going to happen. They changed it during the kickoff of that night to, like, an...
No
holds barred or something like that.
All
the Triple H matches have been no holds bars. The, you know, it was an Extreme Rules match against Cena.
Mm-hmm. Triple H had to retire if he lost.
Yeah.
At Mania.
I don't remember what the thing was against Big Show. That one time. What was it, Royal Rumble?
Did Brock fight Big Show at Royal Rumble?
I believe so. Because that's the one where he beat him so much with that one chair that the chair broke.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, I believe it was that or Elimination Chamber.
I forgot. I forgot that feud.
Well, yeah, because no one cared about it. Because it was a Big Show.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might have been Elimination Chamber. All I know is it was before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Before the streak.
Before the streak, yeah. It's just, there's a lot of unknowns with that. And, you know, I know we had a lot of unknowns this time last year with Daniel Bryan and Cena. But we still kind of felt like John Cena's probably going to win. You know? There was still that air about this. You know, and of course, Daniel Bryan ended up winning because, you know, John Cena was going to have to take time off anyway.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm legitimately, I don't know.
I don't know. I can very clearly see it going either way.
Right. So. Yeah, and I could, and honestly, like, John Cena would lose nothing
to lose to Brock Lesnar?
Right, yeah, because again, the guy beat the streak. Of course he can beat anyone else.
Yeah.
You know? And I still think to this day, their Extreme Rules match, the wrong guy won. Like, it was Brock Lesnar's first match back.
Mm-hmm.
He should have won.
I don't mind Cena winning. I do still say, like, Cena should not have cut the promo at the end. Cena should have been stretchered out. He should have won and been stretchered out.
And, you know, from what we hear, and again, it's all speculative, that's what was supposed to happen. Like, Cena was supposed to have barely won, but yet Brock was supposed to be the one to walk out. Mm-hmm. Cena was supposed to, you know, be helped to the back or whatever, and basically taken off for a little while. And instead, we got the, you know, Cena hero promo, even though he did it from, you know, kind of sitting on some stairs, mm-hmm. bleeding like crazy. Yeah, no, that was not the way to bring Brock back.
Yeah. Again, I will stand by Cena winning. I thought that was a good decision, but...
Well, yeah, because he had just come off the loss against The Rock.
Yeah, and Rock's gone, so you need to keep that...
Cena needs to be the viable candidate for whenever Rock came back, even though we didn't want twice in a lifetime, but it was very clear that WWE did.
Yeah, so you need to quickly repair that brand, because Cena's going to be there.
Right.
As your number one guy, so...
One other note on Raw we probably need to touch on is Cesaro officially dropped being a Heyman guy, mm-hmm. which they kind of teased last week. And
which he part wanted of that's to just because Heyman needs to be busy with
absolutely.
Brock now. Brock's the right. fucking client.
And now, you know, Cesaro expressed interest in being an authority guy, a Triple H guy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't confirmed or anything because, you know, the way his match against Dean ended wasn't exactly what he was wanting. How do you feel about Cesaro just kind of shedding Paul Heyman and going from there? I mean, I'm okay with it, because like you said, yeah, aside from Paul Heyman needing to concentrate on Lesnar and all that stuff, I feel like, I don't know, it's not so much Cesaro and Paul Heyman didn't work, it's that they booked Cesaro very weirdly
yeah.
when they did put them together. Because again, you had Paul Heyman... who's this monster heel manager. Like, no one could be more heel than Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put Cesaro, who had just gotten over big time, turned face at the kickoff show at WrestleMania. And if that wasn't enough, you know, that crowd reaction, if you, you know, because it's easy to forget, because it wasn't the only highlight for him. But the reaction that he got when he finally turned face was huge in yeah. that kickoff show at WrestleMania. And then you have... him pulling off the miracle win at the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Really what it is it didn't work, and you can say they didn't click, or you can say, like, the mm-hmm. booking was weird, or you can say,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of, like, they knew Brock was coming back, so they couldn't really turn Paul Heyman face, and so they tried to do stuff that didn't work. Whatever the reason it didn't work, and the big thing I think everybody's hoping for now is, don't lose Cesaro in the shuffle.
Right.
Because you shouldn't need to. This isn't a situation where, like, somebody's... Like, a lot of times, if there's a, you know... When a tag team splits up, one's gonna be better than the other. This is not that kind of situation. You right. should not have to lose somebody in this
And show. That was the whole thing that we were like, alright, the real Americans are splitting up. Cesaro's gonna be the guy. And if Swagger's lost in the shuffle, so be it. Mm-hmm. You know? That was the whole thing. And it just... It's like they were... confused week to week on exactly what Cesaro was. He would never completely commit to being a face. He would never completely commit to being a heel.
No.
He didn't completely commit until like a few weeks ago when he attacked Kofi.
Cesaro needs a feud.
Yeah.
Cesaro's kind of, I mean, he's been on the show a lot because he puts on good matches, but he right. has not had a feud.
No, so, not since WrestleMania.
I don't know if they'll be able to find spot for him in SummerSlam, although I think they should.
Yeah.
But, we'll see.
I don't know exactly where he would fit in, but you need to find it. He needs to be the guy they
find a spot for. Night of Champions, yeah, he needs right. to.
Yeah, he needs to be in a better situation. I think that pretty much does it for me.
That does it for me.
And you know what that means.
I do.
Turn that smile upside down, because it's time for the Meryl Sack! Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail sack. Alright, this comes from Neil, and basically we were just talking about this, I guess we talked about it a little bit too early. What happened to Cesaro's push? Was putting him with Heyman a mistake? Or did they not want to push too many guys all at once after WrestleMania or something else? I would not say putting him with Heyman was a mistake. Because they wanted that pop the night after
yeah.
WrestleMania. And mm-hmm. they got it. It's just they didn't have a plan.
It wasn't handled well.
Yeah.
yeah, that's really it. It just, it wasn't handled well. Like, they tried to do, maybe the internet, maybe they were just trying, like, let's try a heel and a face, see if they can work together. You know, there was talk of at one point, and there was talk out here in the real world, I have no idea if WWE ever considered, but there was talk of this coming to a Cesaro-Brock feud.
Yeah, but, I mean, and that's the easy thing to point to.
But one, that's literally the CM Punk feud from last year.
Right, exactly.
And Cesaro never got, you know, they, in between the months between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, Cesaro never got the kind of push.
No.
That would really justify him having a feud with Brock Lesnar.
Honestly, I feel like what had come down to it, they knew Heyman wouldn't have really anyone to manage until SummerSlam. And it was one of those things where they were like, well, you know, it would be nice to have Heyman
on the show.
On the show, cut promos. Right. And so I think what they did was they had Heyman be like, hey, just pick a guy on the roster you want to work with. And, you know, I think of the, there was a shoot interview that Chris Hero did after he was released where he talks about being in the back at, NXT Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been the 2 out of 3 falls. Yeah, I think it was the 2 out of 3 falls. Between Cesaro and Sami Zayn. And Chris Hero, he was kind of like just kind of picking Heyman's brain about stuff. And they were like, you know, having a conversation. And then Sami Zayn hits this once, the spot where he jumps through the turnbuckle and goes into a spinning DDT. After that, there was no way in the world you can say a single word to Heyman and him pay attention to you. Like, that's kind of what the whole thing was. And, like, immediately after the match was over, Heyman was just got up and left and walked straight to Gorilla. So I feel like
He saw something.
I mean, clearly he saw something in Sami Zayn and saw something in Cesaro. And, you know, and I think what had happened here was, like I said, Heyman was almost given a blank check to manage whoever he wanted between there, you know, then in SummerSlam. And who wouldn't pick Cesaro at that point?
Yeah.
Like, come on. You know, it would be a golden ticket, all things on paper. It just, they didn't have a plan, is what I feel like.
Nothing clicked. Heyman was still there to really remind people that Brock Lesnar existed.
Right. And, you know, that kind of, those points where I felt like, okay, all right, Paul, let's talk about Cesaro now. Like, you know, you're going a little bit too much on Brock. But I get that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on to, this comes from our buddy Rhett. If Brock Lesnar beats John Cena, who would you have Brock Lesnar fight at Night of Champions, just taking away the rematch with John Cena from the equation?
Okay, well, let's see, Night of Champions is September, right?
Yeah, it's the one right after.
I'm going to cheat a little bit then.
Okay.
Because, yeah, Cena will have the rematch at Champions. But then giving him, because he's going to have that rematch. But if we were doing Brock Lesnar at Hell in a Cell, assuming that Brock Lesnar won and then was champion
right.
for a while, so who would Brock Lesnar's new championship feud be against? Dolph Ziggler? I mean, yeah, easy answers are Dolph Ziggler and / this would be the perfect time for Punk to come back.
Right.
And the perfect feud for Punk to come back, because they all are. But in that same vein, but more seriously, how's Daniel Bryan doing? You know, that's kind of the first thought is, it's, I don't know if that's close to when he can come back, but that's the kind of guy that's going to have the pop and the can-do attitude and the tiered level to, you know, oh man, this guy might actually be able to take on Brock.
Right. The only other person that might be close, that might be anywhere close to that level, might be at that point Roman Reigns.
Right, if Roman Reigns.
But then again, I don't know if they want to feed him to Brock just yet.
Well, are you asking who's going to take the title off of Brock? Because Brock won't have the title forever.
Well, right, yeah. And that's another thing that you're going to have to figure out is how do they get. Once
they put the title on Brock, how do you get it back off of him?
Right. I'm assuming the only way to do that would be the Money in the Bank cash in.
That might be what they're saving the cash in for.
Maybe.
And then hopefully Brock never has a rematch, because I feel like he would break Seth Rollins
into tiny pieces. Or you have it be, like what we had said, you have the rematch against Cena, Cena wins, but barely, and Rollins comes and cashed it in. And so then, like, a few months go by, probably at Royal Rumble, you have Brock Lesnar finally get his rematch against John Cena, who has, you know, recaptured the title.
Yeah.
From Seth Rollins at some point over that time. And I think at that point, he's, what, 14-time champion now? John Cena's or 15?
I think he's 14.
Okay.
But I don't remember. I won't
All right. That.
Then the next one, he'll either, I think he'll tie Ric
Flair. Ric Flair's at 16.
Oh, then he's at 15, because I think he'll tie Ric Flair on the next one.
Okay. Well, then that'll be a big story then.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena being 16-time world champion. How many people on the internet would set their computers on fire if John Cena ties? Because it's going to happen.
John Cena will tie. I don't know if John Cena will beat him.
I don't know. It depends on how many years John Cena's going to do this afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because as long as John Cena is active, it's going to be so hard for WWE to keep the championship off of him. You know, and they've done it for, like, you know, a good chunk of time for a while.
Yeah.
But not that big of a chunk of time. The longest time he wasn't champion is when CM Punk had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for some reason, they just, you know, they try to keep Cena away from the championship scene for as long as they could, but then, you know, after a while they couldn't anymore.
But, like, Triple H is such a big Ric Flair fan, I'm like, I don't even know if Triple H wants to break Ric Flair's record on somebody that's not Ric Flair.
How?
Maybe Ric Flair will come back and be champion real quick for, like, a night.
Just so he can be the 17th time.
Yeah. Like, because, Bret Hart was, I think, his U.S. champion. He beat Miz for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. How, like, the other night, a few weeks ago, when Ric Flair was on Raw, I was completely, I had this thought, whenever John Cena handed the World Heavyweight Championship belt to Ric Flair,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking in my head, what if that was the last time he ever saw that belt? And then from then on, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship was just one belt. It could be the WWE belt, it could be a completely different belt. I just had that thought, I was like, that would be a great way to do it, right there. Yeah. You know, and it not really be a big thing, not be a big issue, not a big, you know, hurrah or anything. But just kind of giving it to the right guy, and then mm-hmm. that being it.
That'd have been kind of cool. You're right.
It would have been really cool, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But nope. But sure enough, he comes out with both belts hanging around his neck like a freaking idiot.
Yeah.
You know else who did stuff like that? Carlito. Big Show. Yeah. Both of those guys. Those are the only two guys I've ever seen have the belt around their neck like
that. The belt scarf?
Yep.
Alright.
It's dumb.
I know you feel this way.
I don't know why you're not as angered about things as I am.
It's okay.
What does that say about me, and or what does it say about you?
I don't know.
This is probably something for a different type of podcast.
It would be a long podcast.
It would be a long podcast, and it probably wouldn't be a wrestling podcast. It would probably be like, hey, guys, let's talk about Chris's anger issues, because this is becoming a thing. The podcast.
The podcast. We're going to need a lot of episodes.
Yes.
All right. You good?
Yep.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, so follow us there. Talk about wrestling. It's fun. Times had by all.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com. Yeah, just give us all your thoughts.
We are also on iTunes. Look us up there. Just type in Classy Ring Attire. You'll come up with us. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. Any kind of that kind of thing would be really helpful for us.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.